In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Benedict's. If you're visiting us for the first time, we hope you feel at home, and we're very happy that all of you are here. There were three men who were going on a long, long journey, expedition. They were actually going hiking. And the three men represented three different generations. There was an elderly wise man, there was a middle-aged man, and there was a very young man. And just when they were about three quarters of the way, getting close to the end of their journey, the wise man, who was kind of in charge of the provisions and the supplies, reached into the bag to get some food and realized they had run out. When he put his hand in the bag, he found there was only an apple left. And when the old man reached into the bag and brought out the apple and shared the news with the other two, the young man, who was growing and was a big, strong guy, was the first one to complain. He said, "How can you allow this? How can you let us run out of food? Aren't you the wise person who made these plans, who was supposed to have all of this prepared? How in the world could you allow this to happen?" And sure enough, the old man said to the young man, "Just relax. Whenever you have a problem like this, you got to learn to pray and trust in God." The young man said, "You see, you old people always talking about your God, always talking about your religion, always talking about this stuff. What if there's no one up there? What if no one really listens to prayers?" It's, "Listen, are you hungry?" "Yes, I'm hungry." "Do we have food?" "No." He says, "Would you just pray?" And so the young man was so hungry, so desperate, he actually gave it a try. So all three men got on their knees, and the young man began to pray something like this: "Oh God, if you're really up there, and you're really listening to me, will you please do something? Because we have no food. We only have one apple. But I've heard stories from the Bible. I've heard that you multiply the loaves and the fishes. I've heard that you parted the Red Seas, that you do great things. And so would you just turn this one apple into 100 apples?" God said, "Young man, your solution to this problem is not so wise. Because I've noticed with you human beings, when you have something, you always want more. And that's just, you know, typical materialism. So forget about it. That's not the right solution. Give me another one." The middle-aged man prayed something like this. He said, "Oh God, thank you so much for this apple that we have here. And maybe you're right. Maybe we don't need a bunch of other apples. Maybe all we need is for you to take this apple and make it really, really big. And if you make this apple really, really big, we can cut it up into little pieces and we could have food for the rest of this journey and even longer than that." God said, "You know, that was very creative. But that's the problem with you human beings. You know, you have a 3-bedroom house, you need a 4-bedroom house. You have a car from this year's model, then you want next year's model. You always have to get an upgrade or supersize it. And I'm sorry, son, but that's not the best solution. Give me another one." The old man prayed something like this: "Oh God, you've been with me all my life, and I just want to praise you and thank you for this apple that you gave us. Everything you make is perfect. All of creation is perfect, and this apple is perfect just the way it is. But I pray, Lord, that you make us really, really small. You remember Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Yeah. Really, really small. And if you make us really, really small, we'll be able to see how great this apple is. And God said, you, sir, you've got the right solution to this problem. Today in the gospel, Jesus speaks to us about humility. And humility is more than a virtue. Humility requires a faith perspective. Humility is about the way we see things and the way we understand things. There's that famous line in today's gospel, right? Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's not what we're told every day in our world, is it? In corporate America, you climb the ladder by stepping on other people's heads. Or you retweak your resume every couple of months to make yourself sound more important. The world we live in is all about self-promotion, getting yourself out there. It's really not about humility. Yet if we look at what Jesus is inviting us to do, Jesus is saying that humility is not about belittling yourself, making yourself smaller. No, it's about living with a perspective of faith that realizes that God is great, that God is awesome, and that we must look at the greatness of creation, the greatness of everything that has been made, with that sense of faith and awesomeness, to realize that God has given us so much. And only when we're humble enough, truly humble, we begin to see the truth with perspective. As human beings, we have a tendency to judge things by their cover, judge things on the outside, and most of the time, we make mistakes when we do that. The great Gandhi was a highly educated man. He was a lawyer. The great Gandhi did not wear a business suit like the lawyers in India. He did not wear the fancy tie or the things that people expected a lawyer or someone of his position to wear. Gandhi, who, by the way, was a great admirer of Christ. I always love that line where Gandhi said, you know, I love Christ, but I have a hard time with those Christians, you know. Gandhi wore the clothing of the simple people of India. He wore the clothing that was the most basic type of attire that the humble and the poor had access to. And he didn't just have that on the outside. His heart was like that. He was close to the poorest and those in greatest need. And so he was able to transform a society and create a peaceful revolution and change the world by being truly humble. Because he was not putting on a show, he was just simply being what God had called him to be. He had the perspective of faith. He understood that God was calling him to do something and to live a certain way in order to connect in a loving way with people who needed him to be different and radical. I'm going to say something to each and every one of you in this church. We are all called to the radical life. And we are called to have a perspective of faith, to see things through a lens that actually captures the truth, the greatness of God, and our own human limitation. Because that's ultimately what humility is. Recognizing the greatness of God and recognizing our human limitation and how much we need God. That's why we're here. You know, I always like to say, the church is not a museum of saints. The church is a hospital for sinners. So humility is about understanding that we need God, we need God's grace, and we need God to transform each and every one of us. The arrogant feel they need no one. When you're arrogant, you're like, you know, you really believe that you're the last Coca-Cola in the desert. You know, like you're the center of the world. But the fact is, we're called to Christian humility, which first comes with a faith perspective, which comes through looking through a lens that allows us to see the truth. I'm going to tell you something really funny. When I started working in Spanish television, I would be interviewed and photographed all the time, right? So I realized that some photographers made you look fat. Right? The angle? Have you noticed that? Some pictures make you look fat. Some pictures make you look thin and athletic. I would walk down the street and they would say, "Hey, Father, you look a lot taller on your TV show. You look short here today." And then I walk into the next place and they say, "Hey, you're a lot taller than I saw you on TV." But this got really funny is when I got married, because then I had my wife to share this with me. One day we're at the passport office, right, in downtown, and we're on an elevator. And we get on the elevator on the first floor, and as we're going up, this Cuban lady, you know, or Latin lady, goes like this to my wife, "Hey, you made him real skinny. You're not feeding him." My wife was like, "What?" That same day, a few minutes later, coming down that same elevator, another lady looks at my wife and says, "He's really fat. What's going on?" Same day, a few minutes apart. I say that to you because that's perspective. We tend to see what we want to see. We tend to judge things on the outside in a way that's not really real. And you know the great Teresa of Avila, the 16th century saint and mystic? She was an incredible spiritual master. And one of the things she says about humility is, if we really want to know about humility, we got to look at Jesus. She says, when we see his humility, then we can put into perspective what we're lacking. When we understand the humility of the Lord, his generous sacrifice, love, compassion, when we see the humility of Christ, we're able to then put into perspective our need for true humility. And I'll tell you, that's the best thing for us to do if we want to follow Jesus. We've got to look at him often. We've got to look at his humility and make him our model for humility. Because ultimately, humility is not about beating yourself in the chest. It's not about, you know, bending your body down and making yourself less. It's about really wanting to see the truth in perspective. The truth about God, the truth about yourself. And there's something else I love about Teresa of Avila. She says that, you know, the key to the spiritual life and the key to true humility is knowing yourself. When you know yourself, you know your strengths, you know your weaknesses, you know your limitations, you know your sins, you know what needs redeeming, and you know what needs lifting up. When Jesus walked into that Pharisee's house, and he said to them, you know, "Be careful. Don't put yourself in the first place, in the highest place. Let them put you there." What he was trying to say was, don't think too highly of yourself. Because when you think too highly of yourself, you have warped vision. Know that you are a child of God. Know that you are loved by God. Know that you are great to God. Don't belittle yourself. But for heaven's sake, be humble. Know that the only reason we can be great is because God is great. The only reason we can accomplish the great things we do is because of the greatness of God. And when we look at the world around us, rather than seeing the small apple, let's see the beauty, the greatness of everything God has given us. There are people in this world that everything they see in their life is what is lacking. scarcity. Oh, I don't have enough for this, or I don't have that. Yet there's other people that have chosen, because of that lens, that faith perspective, to see how blessed they have been. I mean, think about it. Each and every one of you got up this morning, dressed yourself up to come to church. Each and every one of you came here, and you're alive. Each and every one of you has the blessing of being able to see and hear and share. And even more than that, you're able to love and to be loved. You're able to share the blessings of being alive. True humility is recognizing that all of that comes from God. That it's not by our own efforts that things really happen, but it's because we're focused on God, and through God's grace, we're able to do everything that happens. But first, praise God. First, praise God. Because it comes from God. True humility means understanding. Because of faith, and because of the vision of faith, that we are so blessed. Today, as we gather for worship, I want you to think about what Jesus is calling you to do. Your spiritual homework for this week is to check your humility meter. How am I doing with this humility thing? Do I recognize the gifts of God in my life, and do I praise God for them? Do I realize that everything comes from God? Do I realize that all of these blessings I've received are a result of living with a faith perspective and understanding that we are so abundantly blessed? That it is God who exalts us, is God who lifts us up. Is God who gives us really our importance. We are His children, His beloved children. Do we understand spiritual humility as more than a virtue, but as a lens, a spiritual lens by which we see things? In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.